in these words. In one of these editorials, he admonished these polemists in these words. கிதாபில் உள்ளதை சொன்னோம் என்று சொல்லிவிட்டு தப்பிக்கொள்ளலாம் என்று நீங்கள் எண்ண வேண்டாம். மார்க்கத்தை சாராதவைகளை மார்க்கம் என்று போதிக்கிற துர்வழக்கத்தை இனிமேல் விட்டுவிடுங்கள். He also humbly begged of these polemists, these wise men, ready always to parade their ill-digested knowledge, to desist from dabbling in astronomy and physical geography, and in the process given to misquoting the verses of the Holy Quran. He pleaded with them to leave the earth, the moon and the sun, and to those well-versed in mathematics and physics. In a moving passage, permeated by feelings of affection and admiration, Abdulaziz explained how Siddilabya, though treated cruelly by his brethren, yet lived for their good. How he suffered many indignities. Scurrilous cartoons were distributed to discredit him. His shoes were stolen at functions. His press was once broke open. Urchins on occasions were hired to abuse him on the street. And all these dastardly acts were committed against him, against Siddilabya, one who was an alim in his own right, whose sheikh was a person of piety and learning. Such was Abdulaziz's regard for Siddilabya. He was Abdulaziz's guru, and Vapichi Marika was his patron. Vapichi Marika had spotted Abdulaziz's talents early and encouraged him always. When he was compelled by circumstances of finance and family to prematurely terminate his schooling, Vapichi Marika helped him to a place in a friend's firm. This gave him the security that helped him to self-educate himself and cultivate his taste for the service of his co-religionists. Vapichi Marika found in him an ideal person, young, able and zealous, to shoulder the burdens of the Al-Jamiatul Islamiya, a society to promote the religious, social and political advancement of the Muslims. It is this society which was later superseded by the Moors Union. He persuaded his colleagues to choose Abdulaziz as secretary, even though he was only 21 years old. Vapichi Marika, who had since 1867 entertained the idea of sponsoring a Muslim English school in Colombo, bemoaned the fate that had overtaken the Anglo-Mohammedan school that was so enthusiastically started in 1884 and was so full of promise. It did not, however, endure long for want of unity among the founders and the lack of financial support. Siddilabya himself, finding his mission failing, had left Colombo in 1887. Vapichi Marika, with the active collaboration of Abdulaziz, succeeded in prevailing upon Siddilabya to pay a special visit to Colombo and address a Juma gathering in the Maradana Mosque in the year 1891. Within 4 years of his election as secretary of Jamiatul Islamiya, Abdulaziz had proved his mettle. He was the inevitable choice as a secretary of the Colombo Muslim Educational Society that was formed immediately after the moving address of Siddilabya. Vapichi Marika was unanimously requested to assume the offices of the manager and treasurer. Due to the efforts of this new society, Al Madrasatu Zahira was founded in the following year, 1892. In 1894, this institution was registered as an assisted school under the name of Maradana Muhammadan Boys School, which in later years blossomed forth as Zahira College, Colombo. Vapichi Marika, in his review of the society's work from 1892 to 1906, paid a high tribute to the assistance he had been receiving from Abdulaziz. At one of the prize distributions, he was described by a Muslim lawyer as the fulcrum of the school. His contribution was even more valuable as an educational thinker and writer. He carried on the good work of Siddilabya in helping his co-religionists realize that despite its wealth, the community was in peril because of its educational backwardness. He pointed out the fallacy of equating English language with Bible knowledge. At every prize distribution of Al-Madrasatul Zahira and of Al-Madrasatul Hamidiya, started in the year of the Silver Jubilee of the Sultan, and on every occasion he addressed the Moors Union in his capacity as president, he stressed the importance of education. In a moving address he made in 1902 to the members of Kalvi Champashanai Sabai of the Moors Union, Abdulaziz analyzed the deficiencies of the Quran schools. He convinced his audience that no real knowledge could be imparted through the methods followed there. He therefore urged that a committee should be set up and adequately financed for the preparation in the mother tongue of special readers, textbooks and translations. From his writings, it is clear that Abdulaziz was not an overzealous adherent of the filtration theory of education, that he was of the view that the higher education of the few should go hand in hand with the general education of all, that education should permeate not merely the privileged classes but the common man as well. He suggested that money so lavishly expended on kanduris should be diverted to the founding of scholarships for students to go abroad in search of knowledge. He was the editor of the Muslim Guardian, published during the years 1901 to 1908. He founded it with the object of promoting education and progress among his people. In the last editorial for the year 1902, he said, Vishesama, Ilangai Muslim Galudia Kariangalai, Vilipodu Parabaripadum, Avaral Anidiai, Nadatta Padamalum, Emata Padamalum, Padhatu Kolvadum, Avaralak Kudail, ஒற்றுமை முயற்சி முதலியவைகளை ஊக்கப்படுத்துதலும் அந்நிய இராச்சியங்களில் உள்ள முஸ்லிம்களுக்கும் தமிழ் பாஷை பேசுகின்ற முஸ்லிம்களுக்கும் இடையில் பற்றுதலை உண்டு பண்ணுகிறதும் இஸ்லாத்தின் ஹலீஃபாவாகிய சுல்தான் அப்துல் ஹமீத் ஹான் அவர்களோடு தமிழ் பாஷை பேசுகின்ற முஸ்லிம்கள் பச்சமா இருக்க செய்வதும் எமது ஒழுங்கு. இன் தோஸ் வேர்ட்ஸ் ஹி டிஸ்கிரைப்ட் தி ஆப்ஜெக்டிவ்ஸ் ஆஃப் த முஸ்லிம் கார்டியன். ஹி ரோட் செவரல் எடிட்டோரியல்ஸ் இன் த தீம் ஆஃப் எஜுகேஷன். ஒன் ஆஃப் தெம் was provoked by the uncomplimentary references that appeared in the topics at the hour of the Ceylon Standard of 16th April 1905. The writer argued that the Mohammedans, a mere handful, have one representative. This seems unfair when we consider the immense diversity in the totals. Why should the Mohammedans have an exclusive member allotted to them? They are the least progressive, the least educated, the most fanatical and the most backward citizens we have in Ceylon. In this editorial, Abdulaziz attempted to convince his people that their wealth would be of no avail without honor and self-respect. They would continue to be forever disregarded and disdained unless the community produced adequate number of men, English educated and public spirited. He also stressed it was difficult to attain proficiency in all three languages, Arabic, Tamil and English. He bewailed that among his people there were not many who had attained even a fair standard in any one of them. Without English, the Muslims were in danger of losing the rights that belonged to them and the respect due from others. He attributed the community's backwardness in education to the wrong advice given by the self-constituted guardians of religion. Some of them impelled by feelings of fear or jealousy. As there were no civilist officers among the Muslims, he pleaded with the government to give the Muslims such concessions as were akin to those obtaining in India, which would include a quota system. In 1909, Abdulaziz dealt with the subject of English education comprehensively in an article that appeared in Al Muslim. After a historical review of the condition of the Ceylon Moors since their advent in the 8th century, he gave an illuminating account of the current situation. He conclusively proved that the promotion of English education was the imperative need of the hour. He knew that it was the master key that could unlock all the doors to progress. He explained that English education was indispensably needed for commercial prosperity, good citizenship, professional knowledge and government employment. Every one of the above was convincingly argued. Gone were the days when each big merchant had his own method of accounting. With the Kanakapillais now employed, the situation had altered. The merchants had to exercise close supervision. For this, a knowledge of bookkeeping was essential. This knowledge could not be acquired without English education. There was growing competition from newcomers, which was already being felt by the Ceylon Moors, who had till then enjoyed the monopoly in several spheres of trade. They were now compelled to reorganize their business methods. Success was impossible without English, the commercial language of the world. Without English, the Muslims could not be good citizens of Ceylon, because all ordinances and bylaws were enacted in the English language. It was significant that in a population of 300,000, there were only 7 Muslim lawyers, 2 advocates and 5 proctors. Due to this woeful paucity, some important aspects of Muslim law were either not known or were being ignored. Thirdly, higher education was out of reach without English. By the neglect of this language, the Muslims had willfully deprived themselves of the opportunities in the professions that were open to sister communities. In consequence, there were no doctors and no engineers among the Muslims. Finally, they had no share whatsoever in the administration of the country. There was not a single civil servant belonging to their community, nor were there civil list officers. Abdul Aziz alerted his people and called for an agonizing reappraisal. Abdul Aziz envisaged the possibility in the next set of legislative reforms the disappearance of communal representation through nominated members in favor of territorial and professional representation through elected members. None of these new seats, he said, could be gained by the Muslims unless there were men among them, fully and educationally qualified. That was not possible without English education. He would not accept the argument that the Muslims, while neglecting secular education, were fondly promoting religious education. In proof, he pointed out the pitiful conditions obtaining in the few madrasas that were still found in Ceylon. He showed that this educational backwardness permeated all spheres, elementary, secondary and higher education, education secular and religious. Abdul Aziz concluded that the sorry state of affairs that prevailed was attributable to the general attitude among his people of denying the educated among them the high status and recognition that were theirs. The views he expressed then are topical even today. They have not been rendered obsolescent even by the half century and 8 years that have since elapsed. Abdul Aziz had watched the progress of the Muslim nation, the impact it had on Muslim opinion. He had himself functioned as its editor for about 6 months in 1889. He was grieved to find that his successor was promoting the views of the calumniators and detractors of its founder, Sidi Lebbel. Yet, he realized a periodical alone provided the best method of educating his co-religionists and persuading them to favor progressive views. Therefore, despite difficulties of finance, he registered his name in 1900 as the editor and publisher of the newspaper known as As-Sawab in the Tamil language, lithographed in Arabic characters. It did not endure long, but was soon superseded by his Muslim Guardian, which started as a biweekly in 1901, lasted till 1908. The last volume was a bilingual monthly, English and Tamil, a cultural magazine in form and content so different from and superior to all its predecessors. This volume bears indeed strong but silent testimony to the journalistic ability and achievement of Abdul Aziz. The columns of the Muslim Guardian, he became the diagnostician of the ills of the community, the agitator for their cure. He exhorted his co-religionists to abandon those habits and customs which were time-wasting, energy-consuming and wealth-dissipating, which though inherently unconnected with Islam, were yet intimately associated in the minds of the Muslims with their faith. The lavish expenditure at Kanduris was a case in point. Kanduris, he said, tended to convert centers of faith into centers of feasts. The pernicious system of dowry he condemned in 4 long editorials. He suggested that the words of greeting used by the bride's party at this ceremony, Allahukum Allahudaiya Rasulukum Opana Kariyangalin Peral Vandirukrom, he said this was not exactly accurate, but was misleading. And for the sake of truth and accuracy, he begged of them to modify these words of greeting thus. இனிமேல் அவர்கள் உத்தரம் சொல்லும் பொழுது அல்லாஹுக்கும் ரசூலுக்கும் ஒப்பான ஒப்புள்ள விவாகத்துக்காய் அவர்களுக்கு ஒப்பில்லாத சீதன பணம் கொண்டு வந்திருக்கிறோம் என்று சொல்லுவது நலம்.